great communication is a balance between listening and making sound. If you look at music, if it was just sound the whole time, we'd lose interest. Our brain is wired to observe a pattern and then tune out. So if you're just angry all the time, if you're just shouting all the time, after a while, your audience will tune out. What you need to do is learn the dynamics of ebb and flow, give and take, listening and communicating. So really, truly connecting with your audience is a balance of those two things, and great leaders listen.
Welcome to the Your Living Brand Live Show. This show is all about how you communicate your value, how you build influence through trust, and recognizing who your audience is and who they are not. Through our weekly conversations with our guests, we will explore different ways to enable you to demonstrate your uniqueness while we ask them, what's your story? And now, welcome our host, Ben Baker.
Welcome to another episode of the Your Living Brand Live Show. It's Ben Baker. Welcome back, my wonderful audience. You guys are amazing. Every week you guys listen, you'll catch up with me on LinkedIn. You let me know what you like, what you don't like, the guests that you want to hear, and I appreciate it all. You can always find me at ben@yourbrandmarketing.com or just Ben Baker on LinkedIn. Come find me. This week, I have a special guest. I listen to at least 6 or 8 podcasts from other podcasters every single week. And my buddy, Billy Samoa Slebe, had a guest, and I was listening to this podcast. I said, I have to get Emmanuelle on the show. What she's doing is just so interesting and so relevant to so many people that I had to get her on. So Emmanuelle Grace from Find Your Voice, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Ben. Thanks for having me.
You know what? I was excited when I heard the podcast that you did with Billy. The concept of what you do is exciting. It's innovative. It's stuff that people really don't think about, but it really can change lives. So I'd love for you to just tell a little story about where you came from, what brought you to Find Your Voice, and then we can talk about where you're going.
Okay, well, I was a professional singer until a few years ago, and I didn't come into that role easily. I was told by lots of teachers growing up that you can't sing, your voice doesn't sound very good, but I really had life ambitions of being a Disney princess from about 3 years old. So I just was so certain that I needed to learn how to use my voice, and I dedicated my life from a really young age to finding teachers that could teach me that, and my parents were supportive in that. At 16, I left home and went to boarding school so that I could be on site and study, and it was something where I had to get scholarships to get there. I had to get English and history scholarships so that I could go to a school where I could study music and be there and just hound teachers. And I had a teacher who really had a particular aesthetic bias, who used to tell me that I had a terrible voice and I couldn't sing, but simultaneously had me in a very elite group of singers that used to sing at places like the Sydney Opera House and for ABC Radio and used to record. So that created a cognitive dissonance in me. And it wasn't until years and years later I really understood that her saying I couldn't sing, my voice sounded bad, was her saying that her particular aesthetic bias and what I thought sounded good didn't align. So she didn't like the sound of my voice, but it didn't mean I couldn't sing. But in telling me that I didn't have a good voice, in telling me I couldn't sing, she was undermining my confidence. And as a very young person at the time, I was 15, 16, 17, 18, you know, it was having a really profound effect on all different parts of my life. You know, I was getting sick a lot whenever I had a performance coming up, and I doubted myself in other things because I was so sure that actually I liked my voice. I liked creating sound with my voice. And over time, I ended up finding teachers that could see that actually I was more suited to jazz, more suited to blues and musical theater rather than classical music, which is what she had a preference for. And the idea that someone's opinion at a really key point in your life being voiced to you could have such a profound effect on how you saw yourself concerned me. So after having quite a successful career as a professional singer, singing on some of the biggest stages in the world, like Royal Albert Hall and places like that, I just realized that I wanted to coach people in how to use their voice, and not just professional singers and actors. There's a lot of training out there for singers and actors in how to use your voice, but there's really nothing out there for the rest of us. And so that's where I took what I'd learned and started to pivot that into working with professional people and my real niche, the people that I really am in my happy place with, are high functioning introverts that have been very, very good at what they do and have climbed the ladder of their careers and ended up in a very public role, but speaking with confidence and clarity isn't their natural bent. And that can often undermine whole careers. It can undermine how they see themselves. It can undermine how they're perceived as professionals. And so working with these people really brings me a lot of joy, because you can see them really start to come out of themselves and understand that there's been a lot of training out there on public speaking and how to use your voice that focuses on, you know, make eye contact, turn your hands out, stand up straight, but it doesn't feel natural to these people. It feels like acting. And so it comes across as inauthentic and stiff. And it doesn't have to be inauthentic. There are ways to tap into your identity and tap into who you are, where you will naturally start to make eye contact. You will naturally start to stand tall, because you will have faith in what it is that you're saying. You'll really have tapped into your true story, your true belief of who you are, and you'll be able to communicate in a way that's clear and authentic, and it doesn't have to be effortful. So that's kind of where I've landed myself now, and it brings me a lot of joy to work with these people, predominantly one-on-one, but then there's times where, for example, I work with bigger groups. Like, for example, we were talking earlier about the Australian Open, the Tennis Australian Open, where I trained the umpires. You know, it's really high stakes. They've got to stand in a quite uncomfortable position for an hour and a half at a time in the Australian heat, or, you know, in this weather that we have here. And they have to make a call that is very definitive in that moment, that is, you know, seen across the world. And if that's challenged by the player, and, you know, imagine that you're a female umpire being challenged by one of these big tennis, male tennis players, you know, you've got it. When you say out, it has to be done with a tone of voice that is irrefutable. And they were seeing a lot of their calls being challenged, and it was problematic. So then I work with sometimes groups as well. But my happy place is definitely one-on-one with these kind of high-functioning introverts.
Hi, everyone. Do you want to be your best customer's vendor of choice? Do you want to cement relationships with them, add real value, and gain insights that your competitors just can't get? Go to podcasthostforhire.com. That's podcasthostforhire.com. And let's work together to make you the value vendor of choice. And I want to get back with the umpires, because that's a different level. That's really a different thought process, to be able to teach people how to use their voice in such a way that there's that level of confidence to say, when you say out, it's out. But I want to start off with going back to the point of your singing career and how that brought you to your happy place, because I find it interesting that, you know, you had a singing teacher that their ear was, you know, was trained for classical music. She was a classical trained musician. She believed in classical music. That was what her ear was trained for. That's what she liked. And she had a very certain view of what a classical singer should sound like. And she determined, for whatever reason, that wasn't you. But that doesn't mean that you don't have a voice. And I think that that translates really well to the business world, because there's lots of different ways to communicate. There's lots of different ways to get yourself known and understood and valued. And I want to find out, how do you work well with one-on-one people to be able to have somebody who isn't that confident, who is not seen as being the go-to person, the introvert, to help them find their voice? Because those are the people that, you know, get passed over for promotions. Those are the people that are not seen as the people with authority, the go-to, the trusted individuals, the people that get the raises and whatever. But how do we help those people find their voice in a way that's going to give them the confidence to be able to make sure that they get what they deserve in the world today?
Where I start with people is by, forget the voice. Forget that. Alexander Technique is one of the underpinning trainings that I use. And there's a principle in that, that if you focus on the problem, all you're doing is focusing on the problem. If you focus on the solution, then all the things that you're capable of and good at will grow. And positive psychology is the same, another one of the underpinning fundamentals of what I do. And so we start with, where do you want to go with all of this? I think quite often people have this idea of they want a promotion or they want to be seen a particular way, but they haven't broken it down into a strategy of how they're going to get there. So we start right at the very start. Okay, if this is where you want to go, what needs to happen to get you there? Because there's only so many things that you can do in a day. There's only so many things you can be focused on. So, you know, we'll choose 3 to 5 things in the next month, 3 to 5 things that can stack on that in the next year, 3 to 5 things in the next 5 years, and that'll lead you to your dream. But, you know, if you're trying to do more than that, you're doing too much. And if you can just stay focused on those things that are really close to your heart, really true to you, you're not dividing your attention, you're not paying attention to anything else, you just keep coming back to this intention. What it does is focus their energy in a way where when they do speak, it's sincere, it's earnest, it hits, it has power, it has a way of landing that connects with its audience, because they're not dividing their attention. They're really, really certain of where they're going. They're really, really certain of what's important to them, and they let everything else go. And it's a really good place to start, because I think often with introverts, we have this really big internal narrative that's happening, and it's very hard to address everything we want to address in the moment. So we can often end up off track, and that's where we lose our audience. It's the first place where we lose our audience, is by not staying on point. So by knowing what's important to us and having a very clear understanding of what's important to us and where that's going to lead us, and then just speaking to that and leaving everything else go, it makes your message so much clearer.
So it's not so much, I mean, there is the vocal technique. There are things that go along with that, but it's more focusing on the psychological. Is that where I'm saying, is understanding where people are, where they want to go, and then building that bridge?
Exactly. So I spent, I can tell you how old I am now, nearly 20 years training voices. And I had a growing concern that there were this demographic of people I was working with that were incredibly earnest and sincere, and they were being passed over by life's opportunities, because it didn't matter how much I trained their voice. When in the moment they needed to speak up, they were remaining silent. And so it doesn't matter how well trained your voice is if you're not using it in those moments that are life changing.
And that's really profound. That is really gets down to the essence of it. Our world is set up in a way that a lot of people are afraid to raise their hand. They're afraid to be seen as less than, stupid, unknowing, not having the right answers at the right time. Whether they do or they don't, they're afraid of not saying the right thing at the right time, and so they say nothing. And I think that our challenges as people, as leaders, as people within society, is to understand that each one of us has value. Each one of us has a voice. Each one of us has something that makes us important and valuable and smart within our own right. And I think we need to work together to be able to understand what are the things that make me valuable. So how do you help people with that? Because that's, in its essence, that it's building somebody's confidence and trust in themselves.
It's interesting you say people are scared to raise their hand. It makes me think of a quote that I'm probably going to completely bungle. I think it's Goethe, but it's something like, raise your voice, not your hands. It's the rain that makes the flowers grow, not the thunder. Or maybe it's Rilke, but it's the point is that it's, there's incredible power in raising your voice. Mm-hmm. And I think that we live in a world where there's a lot of noise out there right now. There's a lot of content. There's a lot of people with opinions. There's a lot of people where indignation has become the new way of conveying an idea strongly. You know, just everyone's so indignant. They're so upset. They're so angry. That carries a type of brute power. But if you can tell your story in a way that is grounded and earnest and sincere, and you just connect with just your people, that's going to have a lot more power than this kind of angry scatter spray of indignation and fury that might impact some people. But if anything, it'll just add to the noise. You know, you've got to think about what you want from your message. Do you want it to land, or do you just want to add to the noise that's out there? You know, often a lot of the time when people are speaking, they're doing it because they want to be heard. They're not thinking about their audience at all. And great communication is a balance between listening and making sound. If you look at music, if it was just sound the whole time, we'd lose interest. Our brain is wired to observe a pattern and then tune out, right? So if you're just angry all the time, if you're just shouting all the time, after a while, your audience will tune out. What you need to do is learn the dynamics of ebb and flow, give and take, listening and communicating. So really, truly connecting with your audience is a balance of those two things. And great leaders listen as well as speak.
Well, and I think of music and I think of jazz. And jazz is the great conversation.
Yeah, exactly right.
Jazz musicians are not listening to each other. Jazz doesn't happen because it's the ebb and flow. It's the back and forth. It's the listening and speaking. And understanding that your point of view is no less important than mine, and mine is no more important than yours. And I think that that's where we as a world need to look at, is sit there going to realize that, you know, as you said, rising above the noise. We need to rise above the noise. We need to learn how to speak eloquently, softly, and surely to be able to allow people to truly hear what we're saying instead of just shouting from the rooftops.
Well, and that's where voice, tone, and body language become really important, and also understanding the power of things like, now that we're no longer having conversations on video, understanding your position in a room. I was working with one person who's in the political sphere in Australia who'd been hired to represent the interests of children. And he's a man that has incredible gravitas, but he was concerned that because he was softly spoken, his voice wasn't cutting through in a very noisy industry, very noisy arena. And so we did work on being mindful of the fact that often he would look down before he spoke rather than make eye contact. There's ways where if you're at a boardroom table, you know, if you're not feeling confident of yourself, you'll tend to sit yourself out of the way, as opposed to right in the middle of the table or right at the head of the table. And you might slouch back in your chair as opposed to sitting up straight. And when you're ready to speak, leaning forward and resting your arm there and really gesturing with your body and your face and your eye contact that I'm ready to speak now. And waiting your turn, being willing to say, I'm going to say something now. And then waiting until people are listening rather than just barreling through. Because if people are speaking over you, they're not hearing you anyway. So this is where, you know, understanding why you're speaking is important. Understanding what you want from speaking is important. Because if it's just for you to feel like you've got the words out of your mouth, okay, mission accomplished. But if you really want to be heard, then it needs to be, I'm going to offer my contribution now. And when you're ready to listen, I'll speak.
And that's commanding. That is absolutely commanding. And you never raised your voice. And you are able to get the entire attention of a room by saying, you know what, when you're ready to listen, I'm willing to tell you what I need to tell you. And I think that once you've earned that know, like, and trust, earned that respect within the room, that's extremely powerful, because all of a sudden, you're right, you could be the meekest sounding voice in the room. But once you've commanded that room, once you get people to realize that what you have to say is valuable, you don't have to shout it from the rooftops. In fact, the quieter you can be, probably the more powerful you are.
That comes down to your energy as well, right? We touched on it earlier about one of the ways to kind of combat noise is with things like meditation, where you have to have yourself psychologically sound. Animals know not to listen to people that shout at them. It just winds them up more. Kids are the same, right? If you want your dog to stop, you say, stop, sit, roll over.
I'm feeling like I should roll over or something. I don't know.
That animals understand inherently something that as humans we're not necessarily cognizant of, which is that when people are emotionally stable, their voices aren't high and tight. They're low and resonant, right? So if you need to be taken seriously, be conscious of shifting into that low, resonant voice. Practice it. It might not come naturally to you, so it's something that has to be practiced. I don't get on stage and expect to give my best performance ever under pressure, under scrutiny, without having done years and years and years and years and hours of practice and work on that. Mm-hmm. And this is where people, I think, often fall over, is without the training in music or sport is similar. You don't necessarily have the understanding that a great performance and mastery of yourself takes time. It takes work.
Yeah, and it takes dedication.
And a very deliberate intention. Very deliberate intention. You must know where you're going with this from the start. I don't start practicing without having chosen the piece first. I know what that piece needs to sound like at the end of when I've mastered it. And from the minute I engage with that piece, that vision is in my head of where I'm taking this.
Well, as what you were saying before, it's goal in mind. I know where I'm going. I know the direction that I want to go. I know the thread of this conversation. I know what I want my objectives to be. And if you have that end goal in mind, you can construct a conversation, you know, a speech, a play, a piece of music that will take you to where you need to be. And I think that that's important to be able to sit there and say, okay, this is where I am. This is where I'm going. How do I get there?
Yeah. And it's interesting you mentioned jazz music, and simultaneously that's free and improvised, but the musicians know how to be free in the moment because they've done years and years of rehearsal. An oratory example of that would be Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech. You know, the man spent years and years and years and years speaking to audiences. And if you watch the full video of that speech, he doesn't actually kick into I Have a Dream until about 15 minutes in.
Right.
He's speaking. It's a rehearsed speech. He can see he's not connecting with people. And then you see him shift gears and he kind of stutters a little bit and it's less than perfect. But the gravity of him suddenly becoming earnest and authentic and connecting with those people and showing, I've heard you, I feel your pain, I'm here with you, rather than a rehearsed speech, shifts the energy into what's one of the most iconic speeches of all time.
Well, with that, it's being able to read a room and understanding who's in the room, because like Martin Luther King, like most great orators, you speak to the people that are in the room. I know when I'm doing a keynote at different parts of the world, the thought process is the same within the speech, but the speech is delivered very differently depending on who's the audience I'm speaking to and what I want them to achieve at the end of the speech.
Yeah, you need to know your audience.
And you need to know your audience. So it's very important not only to understand where you're going, but to understand how your audience will resonate with what you're trying to get them to achieve. So how do you help people with that?
It's an interesting point you raise. Something that often comes up in sessions with people is, you know, how do I deal with the people that don't want to hear what I've got to say? How do I deal with rejection? Because that's what we're really scared of, right? That's what really stops us from speaking up a lot of the time, is that we're scared of failure. We're scared of rejection. We're scared people won't hear us. And we're scared that people won't hear us. And so there's two concepts that I'll introduce. One is that at any given time, your audience, you can divide it into three. There'll be the people that really love you, that are nodding along, that get what you're saying, they really relate to you. There'll be the people that are on the fence, and there'll be the people that are just not interested, they're not your people. If you focus, naturally, we're going to focus on the people that are negative because that draws more attention. But the problem with that is you're neglecting the other two-thirds of your audience. If you focus on the people that get you, they're your people. You're speaking to them. There's a simpatico. There's a connection there. The people that are on the fence will be drawn into that energy, and you're more likely to end up with more of the audience with you. Focus on the people that are reciprocating. Focus on the people where there's a connection. Let the others go. They're not your people. That's okay. And this is where knowing your audience is really important. You have a choice as a performer. You have a choice as a speaker, that if you are, let's say, a blues musician and you go to a folk venue, if they don't get your music, that's on you, because you know that you're a blues musician. You know that's a folk venue.
You shouldn't have been there to begin with. Yeah.
Correct, right? So then you have a choice. Change your venue. Go somewhere else. Take your goods elsewhere. Or you can meet the audience where they're at, and after building a rapport, you might be able to convince them. But that's going to take work from you. That's going to take you meeting them where they're at.
And that's really important for people to focus on. I love the fact that you said there, you broke the audience into three parts. Mm-hmm. And that audience, you know, is there's people that are with you, people are on the fence, and there's people, for whatever reason whatsoever, are not going to get what you want to say. We need to stop focusing. We need to stop focusing on the negative. And all of us do that. All of us focus on the negative at some point of our lives, a lot of us more than that. And if we can focus on, these are the people that we can help. This is how we can help them. This is how we can get them to be true champions of our brand. You're right. They will probably bring more people along with them. They're the people that probably have influence on the people that are on the fence. And all of a sudden, two-thirds of the audience is in your ballpark because you've focused on the people that are in your court and let them turn around and, you know, and sway the people that are sitting on the fence.
Yeah, exactly.
When you're dealing with that, when you're teaching people how to do that, how to read a room, how do you work with people? Say, let's take a look at a small boardroom type setting. How would you get people, if you're in a situation where you didn't know most of the people in the room to begin with, be able to read the room quick enough to understand where your allies are and where your allies aren't?
Eye contact and smiling is a really good place to start. This is where body language becomes really important. And that's why I think we're all so fatigued by COVID and all these video chats, is that we lost a lot of the feedback that we need to be able to read a room and to feel affirmed and to feel a connection to each other. It's just not there on video. And that's a huge loss, I think. Even though it's a huge gain technologically, we can work from home more often and things like that. But that you can't underestimate how powerful body language is. You know, you need to get your head straight before you walk into that room, because your headspace is going to show up in how you're moving your body, in the looseness of your limbs, but the uprightness of your poise, in the way that you can smile easily or tightly, the way that you will make eye contact and not be scared to linger. These are all things that inherently show you're confident. And if other people can reciprocate that, you know you've got an ally without ever having said a word. You know, research shows that tall people perceived as more powerful and more knowledgeable, and people with low voices are also perceived as more trustworthy. You know, these are things that are really easy to hack. You don't actually have to be tall. You don't actually have to be the tallest guy in the room. You can just stand like you believe you're tall, and you can speak with gravitas. You can speak with a voice that is measured and that has pace and that has a resonance. Without having to say a lot, you've already conveyed that you have gravitas.
Marvelous. Two questions, and then I'm going to let you go, because this has been fascinating, but I want to be conscious of your time. Mm-hmm. Number one is, what's the one thing that I haven't asked you that it would be essential for people to understand to be able to help them find their voice?
I was meditating this morning on the importance of listening, and I realize that there's one thing, if I can leave it with your listeners, that unanimously the people that I work with find helpful. And it's the idea of the 3-second breath. And what I teach people is, before you say anything, breathe in through your nose. And then when you release, that's the time to speak. So count to three, one, two, three, in your head as you breathe in. But what I realized this morning while I was meditating is that what my singing training teaches me is that the power in a breath is not the intake. It's actually how you let it go. So often people, when they feel like they're nervous, they're focusing on trying to breathe in, trying to get air, trying to get it in. And what they don't understand is the way the lungs work is that what you need to do is let go of that breath. It's kind of like the more you can breathe out and then relax, the air will come in, the air will flow itself. So I'm going to try and do this without blowing out the microphone. But if you breathe out, that first intake will give you everything you need before you speak. So I was thinking about Jeff Buckley's Hallelujah. Are you familiar with the recording?
Very much so, yes.
And right at the start of it, you hear this long out-breath. I heard there was a secret chord. But that breath that's been captured in the recording is so powerful. And so for people to understand that breath should be free and not labored, and just take those 3 seconds before you speak, before you let the sound come out of you, that will give you a lot of gravity when you do speak, because you've taken that moment. And it also gives you headspace to regroup. However heated the situation, however high stakes it might be, it'll give you that moment to gather yourself. And that will show up as resonance in your voice, because your body will relax, your larynx will relax, will drop down, your throat will open. And so physiologically, your body will create an ideal space for your body to make a sound that is resonant and has gravity.
I love it. That is such amazing thing. I never thought about it, because you hear a lot of singers, before they start singing, exhale, at least some of the good ones. Mm. And I never thought of that before. And it's definitely going to be something that I'm going to try moving forward. Yeah. One last question, and I want to thank you, first of all, for being such an amazing guest, and thanks for Billy for introducing us. I mean, that's been a real treat for me.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
The last question is one I ask everybody, and the question is, when you leave a meeting and you get in your car and you drive away, what's the one thing you want people to think about you when you're not in the room?
I hope they feel heard. I hope they feel that they were heard. That's more important than anything I can say to them.
And we'll leave it with that, because the world needs people to feel heard. We need people to be listened to, understood, and valued. So, Emanuela, thank you very much for everything that you've said. Thank you for your wisdom, and thank you for your time.
Thanks, Ben. It's been a joy.
This has been the Your Living Brand Live Show. I want to thank you for tuning in today. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the show at yourlivingbrand.live and share your favorite episodes with colleagues and friends. At Your Brand Marketing, we help companies engage, retain, and grow their most valuable assets, their employees. If you're tired of losing great staff and want to retain your best employees, build brand champions and leaders at any level. Contact us for a 30-minute consultation at yourbrandmarketing.com. That's www.yourbrandmarketing.com. Thank you again for listening and sharing. Tune in next week when we ask another guest, what's your story?